tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2014 Memorial Day Deliverance Camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday evening, May the 25th, 2014. Carla Butaud is the speaker of the service teaching on Deception, Part 2.
Well, good evening, everybody. Thursday night I did a teaching on deception. And it's a very long teaching, so I split it up into segments. And so tonight we're going to have Deception, Part 2. Tonight we're going to be talking mostly about false prophets. Yeah, and I would talk about the need to know the truth. If you know the truth, you will be able to spot the counterfeit thing. And I have been among the counterfeit things in my travels. You know, people will invite you places, and I learned a long time ago, God said, I'll let you know what I want you to be a part of. And He's very good at that. Usually if there's something that He wants for me or that He has for me and I go to the place, I receive what He has for me. The rest of the time it's optional. He leaves it up to me whether I go or not. Sometimes people don't understand my heart running to every single thing that's going on, but He's made that very clear to me. And so tonight, there's one scripture that I read the other night. It's Matthew 24:11. Which says, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Jesus identifies who these deceivers will be. Matthew 24:23. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ. And the other night I made the point that the word Christ means the anointed one. The anointed, the Messiah, specifically the Messiah. But the word Christ sets all the other Jesuses apart. There are lots of people named Jesus, Jesus. I don't know if they ever call themselves Jesus, but it's spelled the same as Jesus, but they say Jesus. But Christ sets off all the other Jesuses that have ever been or ever will be. He is the Messiah. Matthew 24:23, it says, so if anyone says to you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And that is repeated in Mark 13:19-23. False Christ, again, it means false anointing. False anointing. False prophet is a spurious prophet, that is, a pretended foreteller or religious imposter or false prophet. They will deceive with great signs and wonders. People really get into signs and wonders. The word sign means an indication to point out or point to. Strong says it means a prodigy, and the definition of prodigy is anything out of the ordinary process of nature, as so extraordinary as to excite wonder or astonishment, something extraordinary from which omens are drawn. And an omen is a Hebrew word. Latin is omen, but Hebrew is an augur or a prognostic. A foreshadowing, indicating something future by signs or symptoms, as the prognostic symptoms of a disease, prognostic signs. I thought that was interesting. In medicine, it means the judgment formed concerning the event of a disease by means of the symptoms. Isn't that an interesting word? Prognostic, like a prognosticator. So when you go to your doctor, you're actually going to a prognosticator so he can listen to what's wrong with you and then prognosticate, tell you what is going to happen because of the symptoms that you already have. Sometimes that can become a word spoken curse. So it's also something which foreshows a sign by which a future event may be known or foretold. And again, let's see, in medicine, a sign or symptom indicating the event of a disease, the appearance of the tongue, is of considerable importance as a prognostic. Then you go to the doctor to see out your tongue, they take the tongue depressor, they're looking for things, they're going to prognosticate. You know, the Native American Indians can do that. There's iurology, where they look into your eyes, and they say they can see certain diseases by looking into your eyes. There's all manner of prognostication. Okay, the word wonder means a cause of astonishment or surprise, marvel, miracle, a feeling to be aware of through the physical senses, such as taste, touch, sight, hearing, smell, as of awed astonishment or of something in causing a change in or alteration of. Now today we heard about prayer, how it changes, but these are other kinds of changes that are not good. And the reason I really feel, I've been working on this teaching for 4 years. The Lord put it on my heart to do it, so I started it, and I've been studying and thinking things out, and He adds to, and adds to, and adds to, and adds to. And I'm like, well, where am I going to get this thing? You know, because most of the time, when between camps, I'll say, now, Lord, you know who's going to be there next camp? You know what they need to hear? Give it to me. And He will. And I know when He gives it to me that it's for that particular camp. But this teaching, I had no idea when the teaching was going to come forth until this year. Early in the year, He said, it's time. Now. Because there is so much deception coming in to the church and into the world that we need to know what these deceptions are so that when we run into them, we can recognize them for what they are. So a wonder is something that can become a feeling, and it appeals to the flesh. That's one way you can sort of catch these things, because it appeals to the flesh. Your spirit is different than your flesh. So we need to be beware of those things through the physical senses, because it has to do with the flesh. So in some of these meetings, you know, I started hearing little trickles of it here and there. Haven't really been involved in any of these meetings, but been hearing a lot about them. I ran into a lady one time, and she'd been to one of these meetings, and she found jewels in her. She had an instrument that she carried around, and it laid open during the meetings, and after the meeting, there were jewels in her meeting, in her case. And all of these things, we've heard of places where feathers begin to fall, gold dust appearing, all manner of things happening. Well, you know, sometimes I can get pretty picky about things, but when they were talking about these jewels, I decided to look in the Word and see exactly what it said about some of these jewels. And if you have your Bible, you can read along in Ezekiel chapter 28. Found something really interesting about jewels. Ezekiel 28, verse 11. These are scriptures that we associate with Satan. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. Oh, that was interesting. The sardis, topaz and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald and the carbuncle and gold. The workmanship of thy tabret and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee so, thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Talk about Satan. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic with merchandise. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. And they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. You see all these stones? He was covered with stones. He must have been a really sparkly guy. A cherub. He must have been beautiful and you know, covered with all these jewels. So what else would you expect to find as he's stomping around and meeting? Do you think some of those jewels might be falling off of him while he's just making himself at home in the sanctuaries of the people as they worship him unknowingly? Ezekiel 28:11. Oh, wait, excuse me. Okay. Then we have angels. Lots of talk of angels. Prophets actually having visitations from angels, getting information from them. Well, my goodness. In heaven, a third of the angels rebelled, wanted to take over God's heaven, his throne. They were rebellious, and because of that, they were thrown out of heaven. So we need to be really careful if angels are coming and visiting us, because we'll see in the scripture here. 2 Corinthians 11:1. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear that if by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You know, I can stand here and tell you, I used to tell some little stories when I would get up here, because when I first started teaching, I was really nervous to get up here. I went to one semester of college, and God intervened in that. I got a really bad case of shingles. I guess I was burning the candle at both ends. But anyway, I got the shingles, but I had a speech class in that one semester. And I was so bound up at that time. I mean, I had the bastard curse. I had other things too. But I'm telling you, I could not get up. The fear of man was just so big. I could not get up in front of people. I didn't go to any of my speech classes. And I found, you know, I would keep up with the assignments through a friend of mine that was in there. But there was just no way I could get up in front of people and talk. And now look what I do. God is, you know, God, all of the things that you have, like I was very opinionated at one, you know, I hated that I was so opinionated, I was critical, I was all of these things, and God said, you know what, I created, and I talked a lot. He said, I created that in you. I created you that way. All those things you hate about yourself, I created those in you, but I'm going to perfect them. See, He wants to perfect those things that we don't like about ourselves, and that He doesn't like about us. He will perfect them if we let Him, if we want Him to. But there was a little story that I would tell about planting some green onions one time. And Mike and I had moved to this neighborhood, and the lady behind us had this whole yard of garden. and she had tons of reunion. And she said, I'll give them to you anytime, just call me, I'll meet you at the event. And I said, well, don't tell me that unless you really mean it, because, you know, when people tell me something, my husband says I'm gullible, because that's why I married her. She believed everything I told her, which is kind of true, you know. I have a lot of trust. And so I believe what people tell me. If you say, oh, well, come out to California and see me anytime. Really? Don't tell me that unless you really mean it, because I'm going to show up. But anyway, so I would call her often, and she would bring me onions, washed up, just like at the store. And one day, I called her, and she brought me the onion that she pulled up out of the ground with a clotted dirt on it. And she said, now, these are really easy to grow. You just have a little spot of dirt in your yard. And I thought, I do. At my front door, there's a little square that I keep things planted in. She said, well, they're very easy to grow. You just cut the tops off of them and stick them in the ground, and you will have green onions. Okay, so I went home and went in the kitchen, and I cut the tops off of them and took them outside and made a hole, and I stuck them in the ground, pushed the dirt around them. And my dad, he would come over for coffee every day. He would look, because he loved a garden, and my little square, he would see that I had planted, because I wasn't very, didn't have a very good green thumb, and things would live, so when they would die, I'd just replant, so there was always things coming in and out. And he saw those green onions sticking out of the ground, and he said, we didn't say anything, and we said, well, when did you make those green onions? This morning. Then we went in the house, and he stirred his coffee, and it was up by the sink, and he said, what is that? I said, the bottom of those green onions. I tell you, my daddy, he had cancer, but he could still, but he laughed so hard that it made me nervous. He said, I know nothing. It came from my loins. Is that stupid? I said, but daddy, I did it. I know. I thought the same thing. Stick the tops in the room. I think it's broken. That's what she said. Cut the tops off. I'm a very literal. I take things literally. But you know what? That worked very much to my advantage when it came to the Word of God. Because when I read it, I took it literally. And I take this seriously. And, you know, I tell that story, then I say, now, I didn't tell you that so that you wouldn't listen to anything else I have to say. I told you that because I want you to know that I am simple. I keep things. It's simple. It's not rocket science. You don't have to have a doctorate in divinity to understand the Word of God. He meant it for everybody. And with His Holy Spirit, He can make you understand it, even the King James Version. Because everybody told me, you need to get one of those easy reading Bibles. But I didn't want, you know, in school, I was not a good student. Sometimes I cheated, too. Who wrote the answers? I can relate to that story. I just wrote mine on my hand. Forget the cheat sheet. I'll probably lose it. But anyway, I had it written on my hand, and the guy behind me turned me in. That was it. And I only cheated one other time. You didn't ever cheat again. I did. I cheated one other time. Okay, well, anyway, thank God He's caused me not to cheat anymore. But anyway, the Word of God is simple. And Paul is saying here, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. We don't need somebody to go up into the heaven and walk into the throne room. Have y'all heard that? I was invited to leave a meeting at this lady's house. And I walked in, and she has visited these meetings a lot. So she's been involved in a lot of this false prophet stuff. And she couldn't wait for me to get there. My friend who invited me didn't know this woman very well, but the woman heard that I was coming, and she wanted to be there. And as soon as I got there, she got there early, really early. And so as soon as I got there, she just almost had me pinned up against the wall, letting me know, you know, Yes, I just walked right into the throne room this morning and I looked Jesus straight in the eyes and I'm like, woo! Okay. I don't think so. But anyway, I don't know where she went or who she was talking to or who she thought she was talking to. But that's scary. Another Jesus. 2 Corinthians 11:4. For he that cometh preacheth it, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached. Now see how simple it is? We can look in this word even today, 2,000 years later, and we can still let this guide us and trust it to help us not to be deceived. We don't need new and flashy things. The Word of God, Jesus, the Holy Ghost, is all we need. Okay, in the Word. Okay. So, for if he did come and preach another Jesus, whom we have not preached, there is a good way to know. If it was not preached in here, you don't need it. You don't need to follow it. Or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, ye might well bear with. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Why? Because I don't love you. God knows. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion. I like Paul. That I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion. You know, there are those that desire occasion. I call it, they have their own agenda. That wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false prophets, false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves, isn't that interesting? Transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Now that transforming themselves, that word transforming means transfigure or disguise. To transform, to change the outward form or appearance. It also means disguise. To conceal by an unusual habit or mask. Men sometimes disguise themselves for the purpose of committing crimes without danger of detection. See that sly thing, that slick thing. They disguise their faces in a masquerade. It means to hide by a counterfeit appearance. To cloak by a false show. By false language or an artificial manner, as to disguise anger, sentiment, or intentions. It means to disfigure, to alter the form, and exhibit an unusual appearance. And the word apostles, it means a delegate. Now, we have many, 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 many people who desire a title. This says, and I wonder, it's kind of like in Mark 16, it says, these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they shall cast out demons, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall. If that is how you measure a believer, how would we pass the test? The same as this definition for apostles. This is from Strong's Concordance. It says, a delegate, specifically an ambassador of the gospel, officially a commissioner of Christ with miraculous power. That's interesting. Apostle, it also means messenger. He that is sent. Now that's the one that people usually use for their proof of their title, because we're all sent. You know, if you're a believer, then you're sent to preach the gospel, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Those are the works that Jesus did. 2 2 Corinthians 11:14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So if an angel of light, I mean, this is what happened to Joseph Smith. Moroni, whatever his name is, an angel appeared and brought him these golden plates. Of course, they were taken back to heaven with the angel, so nobody really saw them. He got to see it, and he got to write down everything that was on them. You know, when my son joined the Mormon Church, I think they appointed surrogate parents that were Mormon, because it wouldn't do for us to be his parents. We weren't in church with him, so they appointed a couple that would be like surrogate parents to him. And the man was really, really interested in getting us to come to church there. Well, there was no way I was going to go to church here. But he would come in our office, and one day he came by. Well, when they opened the big temple in Houston, he wanted to take us on a tour of the temple. But it was going to be really late at night on weeknight when they had this open showing, open house, whatever. And I had to get up early and go to work, and I declined. Actually, I wasn't too interested in seeing their temple. So he comes in one day, and he wants to share with me his hobby. Okay. I said, what is your hobby? Well, I'm learning Hebrew. And I said, well, that's interesting. So then he goes on, because I'm thinking, okay, somehow it's going to work around to the Mormon issue. And so, sure enough, some plate, another plate they had found somewhere up north, was written in Hebrew. And he said, when he came in, he said, this doesn't have anything to do with the Mormon Church. And I'm like, okay. So when he got around to it, he brought up these plates, you know. I said, you know what? Let me just stop you right there. Because that will forever be a problem for you guys. That those plates are gone, that nobody can see. See, we have the Dead Sea Scrolls that back up our scripture. The Dead Sea Scrolls. From ever ago. In your place, nobody will ever see them. That's going to be a problem for y'all. And yes, this did have something to do with the Mormon Church. Anyway, he's a really nice guy, though. He's really nice. Okay. So he can transform himself into an angel of light. Here's this angel that appeared to this mixed up 14-15-year-old young man out in the middle of the woods praying, and I think he might have been smoking something or something. Anyway, he gets this visitation and writes the Book of Mormon. And my son gave me one, you know. Mom, I really want you to read this. Just read it. I read like the four and got rid of it. I said, I didn't even know that this religion was based on a hallucinatory thing that this 14-year-old kid had from an angel named Moroni. Baloney. I'm sorry. I just got to call it like it is. 2 Corinthians 11:15. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, Satan's ministers, he has ministers, also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. See, it's that deception. It's a disguise. Whose end shall be according to their works. We read in Ezekiel, or wherever I was reading. Where was it? It's Ezekiel. Okay. So we heard what his end will be. Not good. So Satan has ministers. Satan can transform himself into an angel of light. So can you see how easily deception could take place concerning angels? And yet, they're communicating with them. I'm not saying that God doesn't still use angels, but my question is this. Why do we be calling on angels when we have access to the Father through Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost? What do we need with that? And we already know what happened in heaven with the angels. So concerning signs and wonders, Matthew 16:4 says, "A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed." So we can protect ourselves from signs and wonders by looking at the signs and wonders that Jesus did. And they're listed in the Word. Matthew 10:7, Jesus said to the disciples, "And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received." One time I told somebody, the disciples had deliverance. They got deliverance from Jesus. "Well, where did you see that?" I said, "Well, it says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received." Freely did. They had received it. Jesus took money out of a fish's mouth. They needed taxes. They were in a city, and they were collecting taxes. Jesus said, "Well, so they won't be offended, tell you what. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend him, go thou to the sea." Listen, guys. Hey, young fellas. Now listen to this. "Lest we should offend him, go thou to the sea and cast a hook," they're going fishing, "and take up the fish that first cometh up, and when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee." Got the money out of the fish's mouth. I think the miracle of this whole story is not that the money was in the fish's mouth, but they went fishing. I mean, can you imagine someone telling you, "Go down there and catch a fish, and the first one you bring up"? But they did it. See, let me tell you, anytime you obey what he tells you to do, it opens the door for miracles. And you know, here's me, simple. I love the Word of God, and I read this, I'm like, what kind of fish that was? Lord, what kind of fish was that? You know, just joking around with God. And, you know, he's got a goldfish. I hadn't thought about that one. No, I didn't even think about this, but do you know what kind of fish it was? He told me just one day, out of the blue, he dropped it on me, and it cracked me up. Well, it was a holy mackerel. See, God has a sense of humor. It was a goldfish, was good though, but it was a holy mackerel. Okay, Matthew 17:27. Okay, that was it. "Then he multiplied the loaves and the fishes twice. In Matthew 14:17, he took 5 loaves and 2 fish. Fed over 1,000 people, not counting women and children, and picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. Do the math on that. Miraculous. That's a sign and a wonder that he did. Matthew 15:34-37, he talks about 7 loaves and a few fish, and he fed a multitude, and there were 7 baskets of leftovers. Again, a sign and a wonder, a miracle. Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Now, I've been aware of deception for a very long time, and these scriptures messed with my mind. I said, "Lord, wait a minute. Hold everything. Because if I go someplace and someone has come in your name and is doing these works in your name, and I see it, I would probably trust that person as being one of yours. So if you never knew them, how could they do these works? Because you said those signs would follow those who believe. And if you never knew them, they're not believers. So what am I to think if I'm ever in a place and somebody's doing these works in your name, but that you never knew them? I'm a little worried. But you know what Jesus said? The power that performed the works had nothing to do with those people. I honored my name. They did the work, but Jesus never knew them. You see, works don't prove the person. That's the danger in looking to any man or woman. The work proved the power in the name of Jesus. Now, many people have looked to many men, those that have secret sins, those that have been lifted up, which, you know, that's really the problem, is the people are lifting them up. The people begin to worship the man. They follow the man. They listen to everything they say. They believe everything they say. They follow them. And then they have set them up for a fall. Let me tell you, flattery will get you nowhere with this one. Because if anybody starts lifting me up, really and truly, my inclination is to run. Yeah. No. Because that's the only thing that can happen when you start elevating somebody.
That's right.
Remember in, not too long ago, someone told me how many years ago it was the other day, and I couldn't believe it had been that long already. But not too long ago, we had one of these prophets. The whole world was watching this prophet. I'd never heard of him, but the buzz got around, and I'm like, who is this that they're talking about? The whole world. This TV station gave a 24-hour coverage for I don't even know how long. So I thought, well, I don't know if I get that channel. I don't watch those channels. I'd rather get my meat from here. But anyway, so I went home and turned on the TV, and I'm waiting to see. I'm hearing the voice, and they're showing the people and everything. I'm thinking, okay, come on, show me the guy. And I'm sitting there waiting, and then he comes on the screen about the same time my husband walks in the house. And Mike is like, our front door goes all the way to the back of the house. And he walked through and saw the man, and he said, I don't know who that is, but you can turn him off. That guy is a flake. And I said, well, I just wanted to see who he was. I mean, everybody's talking about this guy, but I agree with him. When I saw him, Flake probably would not be the devil, might have been more. When I saw him, I mean, you know that thing I told you about that jumps? I mean, my spirit was such a... But, and all these people are just flocking to Florida to see this guy. And it didn't take any time at all. I mean, they had lifted him so up. He ended up had an affair with somebody in the music team. See, it was Satan. Remember what Satan was? He was the anointed cherub. Music emanated from him. There's a lot of trouble in the music in churches for that reason. I think he cannot stand it. He's not in charge of the music anymore. And so there's a lot of jealousy and fighting and strife among them, and they're all vying for the microphones and... You know, it's a big deal. But anyway, he ended up having an affair with this woman that was and divorced his wife and married the other lady, and I mean, it, you know what that messed with a lot of people's faith. Oh, I didn't know that. But anyway, trouble. Okay. Remember in Mark 9:38, John said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followed not us. And we forbade him because he followed not us. But Jesus said, forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can likewise speak evil of me. Luke 9:50 said, and Jesus said unto him, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. So you think the disciples suffered a little bit from the deism? You know, we're with the one. All you other guys, y'all need to just come follow us. But see, that was another thing. They were doing those works in Jesus' name, and people were being healed and set free. I know people that were healed down in Florida. I wonder, you know, but, you know, Satan can also heal. And then you get something worse. But I don't know that that's the case here, because those people that Jesus never knew, they were doing the work. It was his name. It wasn't the person. I don't know. I can't judge that. I don't need to judge that. He also sealed the storm. It's another work, a wonder. Mark 4:39, you know the story. They're in the boat. A big storm rises up on the water, and Jesus is asleep in the boat. Water's coming in. The disciples are fearing for their life. They wake Jesus up. Hey, don't you care that we're about to perish here? And Jesus stood up and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace. Be still, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And they marveled. They were astonished. Who is this man that even the wind and the waves obey him? Here's the deal. When Jesus performed signs and wonders, he did it for a reason. It wasn't to entertain folk. It wasn't a sideshow. It wasn't a magic show. It wasn't for attention. It wasn't just to excite people. There was a reason when he did signs and wonders. Well, I went to a big city. This has probably been 4 or 5 years ago. I have a friend that lives there. I stayed with her when I go. I just left Lake Hamilton. I've been through like 34 hours of meetings. This is when we had a 6 o'clock prayer meeting. We ate breakfast today. We had a meeting at 10 till lunch. We had lunch. We had a meeting at 1:15. We had a meeting at 3 that got out at 5. And we ate supper. And then we met again at 7 until bedtime. And I mean, day after day, you know, like about a 5-day camp. And I had been in many hours of meetings. And I had just left there. And was going to this city, and she said, oh, what time do you think you'll be here? Because I'm going to take you to a meeting. And I said, no, I'm not going to a meeting. I've just been to Lake Hamilton. I've been in 30-something. I figured it up. I don't remember what it was. It was a lot of hours of meetings. And I said, no, I just want to relax. Leave me your key. Go to the meeting. Just put the key in the mailbox. I'll let myself in. And I'm going to relax. Well, she waited for me, and she kidnapped me and took me to this meeting. And halfway there, she shows me the postcard of who's there, and it's one of these groups that I'd heard about. And I thought, oh, Lord, I cover myself with the blood of Jesus. So we get there. I mean, it was a big meeting. People coming from all over the place to see the prophets, the whole group. So we go in, we sit down, and I'm watching all the people, and I think there were some other people there that were there just to watch, to see what it was all about. The majority of them, though, were very involved in it. So I'm sitting there and over there, and I heard about these things. So way over there, I see, yep, there's Glitter Man. He's here. He's a slick, bald guy that was sparkling like he had been rolled in the glitter. Okay, here's Glitter Man. I see him. He's got a crowd around him. And over here, there was another one doing their thing. People are being slain. People are dropping like flies. And, well, you know, I don't have a problem with being slain in the spirit if it's God. Oh, but he's spirit-filled. Yeah, but what spirit? I want to be sure it's the Holy Spirit. Because there's all kinds of spirits. Okay, see, I'm going to protect myself. I don't want to be deceived. Okay, so here we are. We're sitting there. There's lots of people. And Then the music starts. Well, everybody's in their seats, and the music starts, and the lights coming on real low, and there's flashing lights everywhere. I'm like, whoa. And not only that, when the music started, everybody fell out of their chairs, and they're running up to this area. You know, the platform is about this tall, and it's a big church, big platform. And they all came down here in the open space to hug on each other and dance together. And it was, I told my husband, I said, it was just like that dance hall we used to go to before we were married. I mean, we're all sitting at the tables, everybody's sitting at the tables, but when the music starts, they all flood the dance floor. Am I the only one there who went to a dance hall? Anyway, so it was just like a honky tonk, excuse me. My friend disappeared out of her chair. She didn't understand why I was that right behind her. I was like, I was horrified. Immediately, I said, Lord, well, I didn't say it right then. I'll tell you when I said it. So the music starts, and here's the song. Lord, cover me. I hope they're not watching. Well, I'm not saying any names. But the music starts, and here's the song. I kid you not. Come to the house of wine. Come to the house of wine. Take a drink, 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 take a drink. That's my fault. Dear Lord, if I had my car, I would be out of here right now. Nothing holy about that. I'm sorry. I was horrified. And they're all up there dancing and hanging on each other. And yeah, after a while, they were all drunk in the spirit. And I'm talking drunk, sloppy drunk. Hanging on each other and kicking and staggering around. I was just getting to blow my eyes. All this stuff I've heard is true. Holy cow. Oh, anyway, so I just watch. It's a show, too. I look around, there's others horrified. And they probably had cars. They weren't going to leave until it was over, though, I guess. But I'm telling you, that fiasco went on for 2 solid hours. And at one time, now, they're all down here dancing and stuff, and then the musicians put down their instruments. There were only two, a keyboard and a guitar, I think. Maybe some drums. But anyway, they put down their instruments and held hands and started skipping like little children. I can't even do it anymore. But there they went across the stage, and when they took off skipping, everybody on the floor fled up onto the dance floor. The platform. It was in full swing, I'm telling you. And then, of course, the fire tunnels. Y'all heard about the fire tunnels. Up went the fire tunnel, and there were people lined up around the wall. I mean, as far as you can see, they're lined up to go through the fire tunnel. And they're going through there, and people are laying hands. Everybody's laying hands on everybody. And I'm covering my friend with the blood of Jesus. She comes down out of the fire tunnel. She's so drunk, she can't stand up. She comes and falls in the chair next to me and lays over on me and says, why don't you come get some? I said, I'm the designated driver. Somebody's going to have to drive all these people home. Lord, I can't take all these people home. Sure, they got a come down time. I mean, I don't know. It was scary, I'm telling you. And I was going to spend the night with this girl. Oh, she sobers up. I'm driving. No doubt about that. It's the truth, y'all. I'm telling you what is coming into God's house. Okay. No, I didn't go get any. Not interested. Now tell us what was being imparted. Let me tell you something about these impartation meetings. I didn't see any of those in here. I don't think I passed over it either. No impartation meeting. Jesus, the Holy Spirit is the imparter. You can't go get somebody else's, let me rephrase that. You can get somebody else's stuff. But God, your personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ is where you are going to receive His gift. He imparts it. I cannot impart any gift to you. I can pray for you, but I can't impart any gift into you. I had to repent when I started really learning about this because my experience with deliverance came through actually God had begun to do it when I started reading about the generational curses. They're not called that in here, but the sins of the fathers are visited upon the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me. That doesn't exclude anybody because that word really means loyalty. For those that are not loyal to me. Well, I have to tell you, but before you were saved, you were all your own God, which is idolatry. So there's generational curses, definitely. In fact, not too long ago, God told me, because I was trying to convince somebody or just, trying to explain it, and no way, you're not going to convince me there's no such thing as generational curses. Really a friend of my brother's. And he was telling me, nope. He said, nope. My brother takes my teachings and listens to them on the way to the deer camp. And his best friend's with him. Nope. He's a deacon in a Baptist church. But anyway, I walked away from that conversation. I said, Lord, what do you do with people like that just won't believe it? It's in your word. Why would I not believe it? Just not will I believe there are generational curses. And I asked him about it. So, like I always do, going about my business, and one day he just said, if there was no such thing as generational curses, nobody would need to be saved. Because it was Adam's sin that caused us to be a Savior. Adam's sin. You know how many generations ago that was? And it's still activated. Until you accept Jesus Christ, until you acknowledge what He did for you and receive Him. Okay. So the impartation meetings. And a fire. I was told there were meetings where they were actually going through the motions of throwing fireballs. They're gonna warm the fire. when there's fire, and then there's fire. There's the fire of God, and then there's hellfire. Didn't we read a while ago where fire came out of Satan? Right from him. Anyway, my uncle, I was beginning to learn about deliverance, and Ernie Marzullo, who is Frank Marzullo's brother. Ernie is my uncle. So he came to visit my mother and was talking about all this. I was just captivated by these stories of being in Colombia and people slithering on the floor like snakes. My mama, I think, wanted him out of the house. but I had read about it in the Bible. It's real. These things are real. And so he was telling all these stories, and he came over to my house and walked in and prayed out in the Holy Ghost all through my house and came back and said, can I pray for you? This was in 1988. I said, sure. So I sat down. I came out of Methodist church. Will you quiet? So I sat down and bowed my head. And he starts commanding and casting and binding and breaking. And he's saying, Jezebel, what? And the illegitimate spirit? What? The baby in my family? What are you talking about? I couldn't understand it. And then so when we sat down to eat, I said, can you tell me about these things? That's how I got my start. And so he sent me all of Frank Marzullo's books, every meeting he had videotaped, his cassette tapes. And I hung out for about a year with all that stuff. And I had a good friend that was suicidal when I met her. She was an assignment from God. And so I would be reading these. Oh, hey, listen to this. Listen to this. Because I knew she had Native American Indian in her. Her mama had a necklace that hung on the post of her bed that talked to her. Yeah. There was a demon on that thing. But her mama loved that necklace. You wouldn't get it away from her. But anyway, so I was reading about Native American Indian to my friend, and she let out this scream that, I mean, I almost dropped the phone. I said, what's the matter? Blood is pouring out of my nose. I said, oh, my God, I'm not there. I just kept reading the prayer. You know, whatever Frank said, I read it, and she was getting delivered. She was my guinea pig, and we had good times. There's this little wooden church down the road from me, and I used to teach there, and there was this big old iron barrel that they would burn stuff in. She had books. Oh, my goodness. Books I didn't even know about. She had. And so we were reading this thing about cleaning your house, and so I was saying books. She said, I had that book. Oh, yeah, I had that. Oh, yeah, sure, I had that book. Kama Sutra. All these books. I said, you gotta get rid of those things. Those things are drawing demons into your house. So we had a book burning down at the church. And I'm not kidding. This is the God's honest truth. We made a little fire, depending on the book, I guess, and the demons that were in the books or with the book, attached to the book. We would throw a book in there, and it was like we had dropped a mason jar of gasoline down there. I'm not kidding. It was amazing. She had some bad stuff in her house and in her house. But anyway, she got a lot of deliverance. And so that's how I got my start. Okay, so, and I love the ministry of deliverance, because without it, all you can do is live with the demons and try to manage them. And let me tell you something, the older you get, you know that scripture that says, the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak? Well, I always look at that like the Spirit of God in me is willing, but my flesh is weak. But let me tell you something. The Spirit is willing, and when the flesh gets weak, you don't have much control over God. The older you get, and all those little sicknesses come in, and it just wears you down, and those demons just have a field day. That's why sometimes people say, you know, my grandmother, she was always an old lady to me because she was my grandmother. She was sweet. My grandmother was sweet. And I thought all old people were sweet. Not all sweet. Some of them are hateful. But they were sweet before they got old and weak. You put them in a nursing home and they just get mean. They'll cuss you. And I mean, that's a demon. And I love it because you can separate the person from the demon. You can love the person, hate the demon. I love the ministry of deliverance. There was a guy, in fact, the town that I went to be in the meeting, this other fella that came from the same town I live in, he would go over there and do meetings in churches, and he found out that I was over there teaching on deliverance, and he went in every church in that town and said, there is no such thing as a ministry of deliverance. So, you know, you don't get your mind back there. But that's okay. You just see Jesus casting out demons a bunch. Now, it may not be called a deliverance ministry, but they're getting deliverance. He's delivering them from the demons that are in them. But you know what? I don't try to convince people. It's not my business to try to convince people. All I can do is tell them the truth and move on. If you want to receive the truth, good. And if you don't, good for you. Bad for you. But, I mean, Jesus didn't take up household and try to convince everybody. He told them the truth and he moved on. Sometimes we want to camp out with people and try to show them where they're wrong. And you know what? The Bible says, be not deceived. Bad moral. Corrupt. Good moral. We've got to protect ourselves. So anyway, this meeting, after it was, I mean, it just got so wild and everything. At one point, I looked up there and it hit me, this must be something similar to what Moses saw when he was coming down the mountain with the Ten Commandments. And he was so shocked he dropped them. No, he threw them. He was so horrified. I mean, talk about tarrying and waiting. They gave up real quick, melted all their gold and made a golden calf and started having orgies around it. That's deception. In Revelation 13:11, it says, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed." Now, see, these people saw this beast, and its head had a deadly wound. It should have killed him. But guess what? Right there while they were watching, it healed itself. And they were amazed. They were astonished. They were thinking that this was some kind of power they needed to pay attention to. And he does great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. There's that fire again, but it was demonic. Now Elijah, fire came down and burned up the sacrifice, the wet wood, the pool of water, everything. But see, he'll copy things that God did to try to deceive you. And the next sentence says, "And deceived them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed." See, he goes, you know, if there were a statue in this room right now, and I just did whatever to make it look like I was doing it, and then the statue came alive, that would fool some people. They would think, oh, that's got to be God's power. No, it's not. And we had things like that going on for centuries. Pictures that cry, statues that bleed, people flock to it just to touch it and they get healed. All kinds of miracles happen around that thing. But guess what? It's not God. Those are demonic healings. Satan has power to do those things. You better know who's the source of whatever it is that you are partaking of. "And that no man might buy," okay, "and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name." Matthew 7:15, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Matthew 10:16, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." That's become a prayer for me. Lord, help me to be wise as a serpent, but harmless as a dove. "Go your way. Behold, I send you forth as lamb among wolves. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." He's after the sheep. He's after the precious life. Jeremiah 14:13. "Then said I," this is a warning to false prophets. Man, if I was putting myself out there like a prophet, I would be shaking in my boots after reading this. "Then said I, O Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto thee, and ye shall not see the sword, neither shall you have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught, and a deceit of their heart. And the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword. And they shall have none to bury them, their wives, nor their sons, nor their daughters. For I will pour their wickedness upon them. This is Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 25. I have heard what the prophets said that prophesied lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. Verse 7, therefore, behold, the day is come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries whither I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man and like a man whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers, for because of swearing the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil and their course is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Wherefore their way shall be unto them as slippery ways of darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein. For I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. The false prophets will cause God's people to err with their lies. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from their wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood, and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone out forth into all the land. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say to every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord, and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the heads of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he hath executed, until he hath performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days you shall consider it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and called my people to hear my word, then they should have turned from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. I, a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I feel heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophets said that prophesied lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which seem to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath a word, hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. And when this people, or the prophet, or a priest shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? Thou shalt then say unto them, what burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people that shall say the burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man and his house. Thus shall you say every one to his neighbor and every one to his brother, what hath the Lord answered? And what hath the Lord spoken? And the burden of the Lord shall ye mention no more, for every man's word shall be his burden. For ye have perverted the word of the living God, of the Lord of hosts, our God. Thus shall they say to the prophet, what hath the Lord answered thee, and what hath the Lord spoken? But since you say the burden of the Lord, therefore thus saith the Lord, because ye say this word, the burden of the Lord, and I have sent unto you, saying, ye shall not say the burden of the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will utterly forget you, and I will forsake you in the city that I gave you and your fathers, and cast you out of my presence. And I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you, and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten. Revelation 16:13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth into the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to battle of that great day of God Almighty. Revelation 19:19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on a horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the devil that deceived them was cast into a lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Pretty serious stuff. So I wanted to teach on this tonight to give you an idea of some of the things that are moving into the church. There will be more coming. There's other stuff God has said that we need to make ourselves aware of, so that when we see the false thing, we can know it. We can discern it because we know what the Word of God says. So if you've been in any of these meetings, it would be a good thing for you to get before the Lord things that you know that have not happened in the Word of God, but have been entertained with at any of these meetings where these things are taking place, and ask God to forgive you for being enticed and excited that your flesh was moved by things that you saw, things that you heard, things that you did, people laying hands on you. I would be asking God to seek out every spirit that was imparted, knowingly or unknowingly, in any of these meetings, and have cast them out of you. Ask God to show you what those spirits are, because He can, He will. If you ask Him, He will. He'll remind you, hey, you remember that? And that's when you say, Lord, forgive me. And then command every spirit that came in that meeting to leave you in the name of Jesus. If you've been involved in, some things are of God, but when it's on a mass scale like that, and it's blatant unholiness, you need to be careful. Like I said, if I had my car, it wouldn't come. And this friend is very dear to me. And the next morning, when we get together, it's always so wonderful. We just share the Lord together and get up and drink coffee for hours and pray, whatever. She needs deliverance, I pray for her. And she has a prophetic thing going on, so she'll pray for me. But, you know, I'm real careful what I believe when someone prays for me. My response, Sometimes I know immediately, yes, Lord. Sometimes I say, well, we'll see. I had a lady call me at one time and said, honey, do you make banners? I said, no, I don't. And she said, I believe you're going to be making banners. I said, well, we'll see. If God puts it on my heart to make banners, you better believe I'll be making banners. But, honey, you ain't going to put it on my heart. God will, he will confirm what he, you know, he will confirm it if he wants you to do it. But be careful. I mean, can you, so many people's lives have been wrecked by people that have prophesied, yes, you're going to marry this man. Or they'll even say, somebody that's already married and not a family, that's going to be your husband. And they just swallow it, hook, line, and sinker. They got took in what happened. And then they'll just wait and wait and wait and wait and wait. Well, my God told me that was going to be my husband. I'm thinking, what? That's simple, what you're saying. No. No. That's a false prophecy. So, Father, just bow your heads and, you know, if you've been involved in these things, and let me tell you, deception is slick. And it's not that you lost your faith that caused you to start giving heed to these things. That's not what's going to cause you to lose your faith. But it's giving heed to those things can cause you to move away from faith. It says so in 1 Timothy chapter 4. So, Lord, we ask you to make us wise as serpents. If anybody's been to these meetings, when you come to the 6 o'clock prayer meeting, tell us. Let us pray for you about that. I prayed for a man who had the Kundalini spirit. He'd been to an impartation meeting. He was so proud. Man, I could see that thing, and he wanted me to pray for him about something. I said, there's something more important we need to pray for right now. I said, you're hungry for the Lord, and you have gone from prophet to prophet and place to place, and you've eaten everything anybody has put in your mouth. And you got some impartation, all right. But you better ask God to help you, because you shouldn't just let anybody lay hands on you. So, Father, we just ask you to help us to remember these things, to take them with us, so that we can recognize quickly when we're being fleeced by a wolf in sheep's clothing. These false prophets, Lord, that are in the world, Lord, I ask you to reveal them to us. Reveal them to us so that we can know who is trustworthy to listen to and trust and who is not. Wise as serpents, gentle as doves. And Father, I pray that you would give each one of us here a hunger, a new hunger and thirst to read your word, because we are entering times that are like never before. And when we read the Word, He can show us things that have been hidden until this particular time for us to know. So plant the Word in your heart so that you will not be deceived. And Lord, I just bless everybody to have a good night's sleep and to come at 6 o'clock in the morning for another day of prayer. I bless you. Thank you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.